Good morning. Happy Sabbath. We're here for two reasons this Sabbath. The first one is we're here to worship God. We're here to worship the King of the universe, our Lord, our Savior, that's soon to come. That's one of the reasons. The second reason we're here is to worship as we remember what He has done for us. As we remember that, basically that last week that He was here on earth, that before the crucifixion, we remember that great sacrifice on your behalf, on our behalf. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Eddie Fisher, in the spring of 1977, he embarked on a long journey. Eddie Fisher had decided to travel from one small village there in Guatemala. He decided to travel from that village to his hometown in Pennsylvania. And that was about 4,000 miles on foot. Yeah, 4,000 miles. What he was doing is, he called it the walk for water. It seemed that he was trying to raise money for this village who desperately needed a well so they could get pure water for that village, the village of Rabinal. And so he was working there as a volunteer. He saw the need. He started walking. And he walked and he walked and he walked. And he attracted a lot of attention as he walked. He opened the minds and the need there for Rabinal, and people donated for this well that he was trying to raise money for. And so he talked on the way home to Pennsylvania. He talked to many churches. He talked to many civic leaders and civic groups. Every time he reached a major city, wouldn't you know it, TV crews were there waiting for him. I mean, he was kind of like a celebrity. He appeared in several talk shows as he was walking through. And during this whole walk, he met many, many wonderful people. But there was one woman that stood out of all the people that he met. He met her at the end of a 40-mile walk. There in those endless Illinois cornfields. I don't know if any of you are from Illinois, okay? So you know what I'm talking about. They just keep going and going, and he was walking 40 miles. And she and her husband had volunteered to just give this man hospitality for the night. They lived in an old farmhouse. Very large farmhouse, and it had this lived-in, homey look. That's how he described it. A lived-in, homey look. And there he was. He was tired. After 40 miles walking, he was sweaty. He was dirty. And he was sitting there in the nicest recliner chair that this couple had given him to sit. And as they were talking, they gave him a nice cold drink of water with ice, just what he needed. And as soon as she did this, she hurried off. She hurried off. And then he says that the lady came back with a towel. She had an apron. Came back with a towel and a wash basin. Okay? And here she is standing in front of Eddie Fisher. And he's drinking his cold water with ice. And she asks him, "May I wash your feet?" He said that at the sound of that question, he almost choked on the ice that he was sucking on. And then he kind of mumbled something, "Oh, it's okay, I'm going to take a shower later." But this lady insisted. She insisted that she wash her feet. She said, "It's a custom that we have here in our home that we wash a guest's feet." And as a matter of fact, she said, that's what Jesus did. He washed His disciples' feet. Eddie didn't know. He wasn't quite sure about this. So he finally gave in. So she started to take off his boots. He started to take them off and the woman stopped him. She started to take his boots off. She untied them. She took the shoes off. Then she started taking the socks out. Now, you could imagine how uncomfortable Eddie must have felt because, you know, after you walk 40 miles, your feet are not really the nicest aroma coming out of them. And so she took out the shoes, took out the socks, and then she, smiling and cheerfully, began to wash his feet. And the gentle hands of this woman said that put him at ease. Many people had offered a lot of help to Eddie. They had invited him into their homes. But of all the people that he met, none had ever washed his feet. And then Eddie, later, he recalls and he writes, "What happened to me in that home changed my whole attitude about my walk. Before, he had seen the walk for water as his project, his sacrifice. All the media attention had put him on a pedestal. He thought he was the celebrity. But he said, but now he felt part of something bigger, part of the many believers who give of themselves in service without recognition." Jesus Christ, and this was before the feast of the Passover, had the disciples set up a room, and they were there gathered, and Scripture says that he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Some of them probably objected. We know of one that really, really objected, and that was Peter. He said, "You're not going to wash my feet." I could see Jesus smiling at him. "It's okay. If I don't, you can't take part with me in the kingdom." Whoa. If that's the case, then start with my head and just give me a whole bath. Jesus said, "It's not necessary. Those that have been washed, those that have been baptized, do not need to be baptized again, but just the washing of the feet will be sufficient." And after Jesus was done, he said this, and he asked them a question. He said, "Do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I have done to you?" I don't think anyone answered, because at that time, I don't think anyone understood what he had done. As a matter of fact, some of them thought that he might have degraded himself by taking the place of a servant. Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. This morning, we continue with that which the Lord has asked us to do to one another. And that is to wash each other's feet. To humble ourselves and wash each other's feet. There's great symbolism here as we do this. And the Lord has asked us. It's simply, like someone put it, it's a command that the Lord asked us to do this. The ladies are going to be, you're going to be washing your feet in the library. All right? For those of you that are here for the first time and don't know where our library is, through this door, just go to the end and make a left, and you'll see the library there. The men, you'll be in the early teen room. Okay? Through these doors, upstairs. The families, those of you that like to participate as husband and wife or as family, you're going to be in the conference room. Through that door or that door, go to the end. If you go through here, you make a right. If you go through there, you can make a left or go straight into the door. And that's where we're going to be washing each other's feet. That's where we're going to be doing that which the Lord has asked us to do. If you are here for the first time, if you are here visiting, and this is your first time you have ever stepped into an Adventist church, we hold what we call open communion. And what is open communion? Open communion is simply this. If you have been baptized, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you understand what He has done for you, you are welcome to participate with us. You do not have to be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to participate with us. You're welcome to participate. If you would like to just come and observe, that's also something that you could do. And so at this time, I'm going to ask that we just go to our different rooms where we're going to be holding our foot washing. After prayer, the children could come right up here, and they're going to have the children's story. And I'll just remind you of the ribbons again. When you come back from the foot washing, these ribbons are going to be put across like this. If you find a ribbon like this, please don't go through it, because this is where the deacons, it's easier for them to go through here and serve you as we do communion. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for giving us an opportunity to remember what you have done for us. We thank you for all that you have done. And as we participate in that which you have instituted and you have asked us to wash each other's feet, I pray that the spirit of humility may be in our hearts. The spirit that you had, may it drive us to do that which you have asked us to do. Be with us now as we separate to the different rooms. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As the congregation remains seated, shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we bow before you at the foot of Calvary's cross, not in its shadows, but in the saving power that shines down through the ages to remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus. He became our sin offering so we can have life eternal. We come unworthy and confessing our sins. As we partake of this bread, a symbol of Christ's broken body, create in us a living connection to the risen Savior. And may our lives be transformed as we behold his righteousness and his matchless love.
Amen.
Amen.
So let us, Lord, as we kneel here before you, as the song says, sinner, condemned, unclean, we see that we indeed are filthy and we need your cleaning up, but we can rejoice this morning because the blood that you spilled for us at Calvary has made us clean. And as we partake of this grape juice this morning, we can be reminded again of the blood that was poured out for us that indeed did cleanse us from all our sins, and we could be happy and rejoice in that. Thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Sacred flame, oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And as we eat together, let us really remember the sacrifice that He made for us. Let us all eat together. Thank you. Scripture says that in the same manner He took the cup and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of Me." So as we drink together, we remember that it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Let us drink together. Rodney Robertson knew that it was going to be a very long, bad night there at the Marin County Homeless Shelter. He had been working there as a counselor. He wanted to be pay his way through seminary, so that's what he was doing. And rain was coming down hard outside. It was pouring, and to make things worse, the temperature was around 40 degrees. And soon all the cots and all the mats and all the things, all those sleeping mats were all taken. And even though they were taken, people still were coming in to that shelter. Soon, some of the blacks and Latinos started accusing Rodney of favoritism. And not only that, arguments started breaking out. Arguments here, arguments there. And you know, when arguments break out, they're also sprinkled with profanity here and there. And some, as it happens, they began to fight for their sleeping mats or the cots. It was chaos. While all this was happening, a large man, his name was Jose walked right into that middle of that room. He threw his sleeping mat on the floor. He went to the floor and he, as best he could, he started taking his boots. Finally, after struggling to do that, he took off his boots, threw them aside, and then went to sleep. Well, it wasn't a few minutes here, and the stench from his feet began to fill the air. It was really strong. And then all the street people that were close by, then they started complaining, and they wanted Rodney to do something about this. And they insisted that Rodney take care of the situation, not during the night, but they wanted this to be done immediately. And so the obvious solution that everybody wanted Rodney to do was to persuade Jose to take a shower. So Rodney tried. Rodney tried to wake him up. But Jose was dead to the world. I mean, he was there in the middle. He was drunk, as drunk could be. So he was just sleeping. And they tried to wake him up, and they could not do this. Well, the next thing was that the street people started saying, well, why don't you drag him to the shower? Well, there was a problem with that because Jose weighed more than 200 pounds. And no, they were not going to do that. So then the street people started complaining again, and they told Rodney, well, why don't you just drag him out in the street again? Well, that wasn't going to happen because all his Latino friends started complaining about that. So that wasn't going to happen either. So in the midst of all this, you know, conflict, Rodney started to realize this. For anyone to win, someone had to lose. And as he was thinking about this, he got this great idea. Well, we can't take Jose to the shower. Why don't I bring the shower to him? And he ran to the back rooms there, and he got a basin, and he got this lemon-scented soap that he found there, and he filled it with water. He got a towel, and he went back right there to the center of that homeless shelter, and he started doing something that was terrible. He started peeling the socks out of Jose's feet, literally peeling them off. And the stench was overpowering. I don't know how he said he was going to be able to do this, but he did. He took off the socks, and then gently, with that towel, soapy towel, he began to wash Jose's feet. And he washed, and he washed as he was kneeling. And then all of a sudden, he noticed a sea of legs and knees that were surrounding him. Tired, Ronnie stood up and he looked around. It seemed like everybody was grinning at him. People that had been protesting, that had been screaming the loudest, they were grinning at him. People that he had never seen smile, they were grinning at him. Men and women of all races. As a matter of fact, a lady came through the crowd, and she grabbed Rodney's soapy hands and she kissed them. A quiet hush fell over that armory, that homeless shelter. It was all silence. There would be no more shouting that evening. There was no more fighting. As a matter of fact, you could see someone that had a cot and a mat give somebody else the mat. They were sharing. People that were protesting, that were saying the bad words, they were silent. Everything, all this conflict had been washed away. What did it take? Well, it took someone who didn't need to take sides. It took someone who didn't need to make any points. It took somebody willing to be like Jesus, chief among them. It took somebody to become a servant and be willing to serve. And that is what my Jesus did. I leave you with this thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now you would think that this humbling was a defeat for Jesus. No, it wasn't. Listen to this. Therefore, because of this, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ came. He humbled himself to the point of death so that you and I could have eternal life and be able to live with him throughout eternity. And so the challenge this morning is that you and I would have that same spirit of humility that Jesus Christ had. And it is my prayer that our church would not only be a loving church, but a humble church. There's a hymn that we're going to sing together. It starts with a question. What can wash my sin away? And the answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you agree with that? Amen. So let's stand together as we sing this closing hymn, Nothing But the Blood.
What can wash my way, my sin? Nothing but the blood, O Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, O Jesus. Oh, precious is the flaw that makes me white as snow. No other front I know, nothing but the blood, O Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood, O Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood, O Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood, O Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood, O Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood, O Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood, O Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood, O Jesus.
So you see, it's not about what we do. It's not about points. It's about the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. During communion service at the end, we usually receive an offering that's used to help some of the members of the congregation that at times find themselves in financial burden. And this Sabbath, we will receive an offering as you make your way out of the sanctuary. Let's bow our heads and have prayer. Father, we want to thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we want to thank you for your willingness to die for each one of us. I know it must have been hard. The way to the cross, it was hard. All the mocking, all the laughter, all the physical pain, all the emotional pain, the bleeding, the slashings. And yet, you were willing to do that for us. This morning, we want to express the fact that we are really grateful for what you have done for us. And we pray that you may continue to work in our hearts. We pray that you may continue to transform us, to mold us into the likeness of Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus. And most of all, we want to have that humble, loving spirit that he had, so that we too can love others as you love them. Be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath day. Continue to help us to honor and glorify it according to your will. And for your honor and glory, I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.